All right, guys, welcome. This is the Principles for the Leader's Marriage, a Men's Perspective. Mm-hmm. Pastor Tim Jansen. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. So as we begin, this is from a male's perspective, and my wife and I, we were going to name this session How to Stay Married and Not Kill Each Other in Ministry.
You would have had room to.
There you go. I've been loved by my wife for 33 years this summer. So, amen. So we've been married a long time. Got married in 1992, before there was color TV. And no such thing as the internet, but I'm glad you guys are here. And as we talk about these things, understand I'm a practitioner. I'm not an expert. I'm going to share some things that we've learned in staying married and keeping ministry in balance. But our main text here is going to be out of Proverbs chapter 27, verse 23 through 27. And everything actually is going to be based out of this entire chapter of Proverbs. One of the things that we do for many, many years was read a proverb, chapter of Proverbs every night for 30 to 31 days, unless you're in February, then you got extra days, you know, whatever. We would do that as a family, and our boys, for some reason, always got chapter 5 and chapter 7, which is about the promiscuous woman. They'd always be the one reading it. So it's hilarious that growing up, they would walk on the other side of the mall where Victoria's Secrets was so they wouldn't go buy it. So it's a very effective means of teaching your children. Be sure to know the conditions of your flock. Be of careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever. A crown is not secure for all generations. When the hay is removed, a new growth appears, and grass from the fields, from the hills are gathered in. The lambs will provide you clothing, the goats with the price of a field. You will have plenty of goat's milk to feed your family, to nourish your female servants. Heavenly Father, as we just take a few moments now, we thank you that you are our ever-present help. Lord, that you have always come beside us, you've always held us, you've always encouraged us. Lord, as men, as we talk about marriage and ministry, Lord, from a guy's perspective, Lord, may we realize that you've placed us in a seat of authority that is a privilege. We don't overrule, but we get to serve. Lord, I pray that you would teach us to be humble of heart, that we would learn that we are to lift up our spouses and our children, Lord, so that they can be everything they can be. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Proverbs chapter 27, so much truth. I love Proverbs because they're like tweetable nuggets of truth. It's like you could do this for every day of your life. If you want to post something, post a proverb every single day. I mean, it's just incredible as you go through them. Understand that it's part of the poetry books, the wisdom books. And a lot of times they're going to build, a statement will be made, and then they deepen on the next statement, and it kind of moves through. And some people are like, why is it indented? I don't understand. It's because the thought is continuing or deepening, or sometimes it's they're playing against each other. So as you read through these things, every proverb is not always true at that moment, because there's one that says, hey, if you discipline a fool, you're a fool. Then another one says, if you don't discipline a fool, you're a fool. So it's like, which one's right? Well, it depends on the situation. But all truth is God's truth, and we're going to walk through this today. Marriage is not measured in miles. It's measured in yards. It's measured in miles, not yards. In other words, just because yesterday was incredible does not mean tomorrow is going to be. Just because your marriage was working yesterday does not mean that you don't work on it today. Verse 1 says this, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring. See, I think what happens is we get comfortable where we're at. Man, we're sedentary when it comes to relationships. It's like the guy who said, I do, I love you at the wedding, and then 30 years later, the wife is still waiting for him to say it, and he said, if it changed, I would have told you.
It doesn't work too well. Just not in my relationship, it won't.
So marriage is measured in miles, not in yards. See, a lot of times we celebrate the little steps, and we need them. But in reality, I don't know about you, I want at the end of my life that my wife is still my wife. I'm not into changing cars, nor am I about changing women. Just I want to keep what I got. Amen. Like I said, like my shirt says, I don't complain about our choices because I am one of them. The next point from a guy's perspective, we'll probably move through this pretty quickly, is always work on or at your marriage. Always work on and at your marriage. Like I said, we tend not to do that. Guys, we don't. You have a resource page there. I don't know if that was given out to you. We have a list of resources up there. If you could hand those things out, sure. That'd be wonderful.
Yep.
Ruthie and I have done every single one of these. I didn't realize how much we worked on our marriage. Yeah, we're so jacked up.
We're right there along with you.
So I have a question. How many years have you been? Okay, this is for pastors. Okay, this is for pastors. How many years have you been in ministry? How many years have you been a minister?
Since 2013.
Okay. 2023 is our newest.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Anybody else? I have a gift for you. This is the most hilarious conference that you've ever done. I'm telling you, this is vital for when you're teaching people about marriage. The very first two sessions, I make every single person who's getting married to watch. They can borrow the DVD or they can download it and watch it. It's called Laugh Your Way, Mark Unger, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. It is hilarious. And I saw one of the most respected pastors that I've ever worked with sit there and almost pee his pants. It is so stinking funny. But it's so, so true. The Tale of Two Brains is the very first one. So who's the youngest one here? This is yours. Did you get past that all the way back there? Congratulations. Now, who has been married the longest here? How many years? Anybody, you've been married longer than me. You've been married more than 32, been 33?
40, is it 40?
Oh, put your hand down. 37?
47.
47 years. They won, so I mean. How long? 32.
Wow,
congratulations. This is, we did this every single night as a devotional type of thing, and it was wonderful. We so enjoyed it. It helped increase our intimacy. No matter how old you are, you need to work on or work at your marriage. Look what it says. Anger is cruel, fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Okay, anger is cruel. Fury, man, it's hard. But jealousy, guys, you need to remember this next one. Write this one down. Remember, ministry is not your mistress. I've had too many pastors' friends of mine who were kinder to the church than they were to their spouse. Who would set everything aside for the people in the church, but nothing aside for their spouse. We can date the church better than we date our wives. And we need to be very careful with that. Look, the prudent see danger and they take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Like I said, you always got to work on or at your marriage. You need to remember that ministry is not your mistress. The thing is, sometimes you'll get more praise from the pulpit than when you're at home. So spouses, make sure you continue to praise your spouse. Because if not, they will start listening to it from somewhere else. This is something else we've learned, This is so true. Oh, my word. This is so true. Listen to your spouse. They can see things you can't. I'm telling you. Mm. Woo, my wife picks up on things that I am so oblivious to. I mean, really silly things, but extremely important things. Like, Tim, mind the way you're standing when you're talking to somebody, when you're talking to a woman. Don't get all casual because it's sending a vibe. I'm like, I'm not sending no vibe. What are you talking about? I only have eyes for you. Or she'll say something like, just be careful. That person's hurting right now. They're very vulnerable. Make sure you don't give them a hug. You just kind of, we'll pray for you. My wife will come over, pray for you. And Armando was saying in one of his sessions is, let's get somebody else to pray for you because things can be taken in inappropriately. So look at what it says there. Better an open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Your spouse is going to see things. They're going to say things to you that you don't like. It's okay. Truth does hurt many times. And some of the kindest things your spouse can ever tell you is, don't be stupid. Hello. What the heck are you doing, you know? So, it is true. It's very, very true. And with that, listening to your spouse, if your marriage is in any type of trouble, there's difficulties, there's always a Susie. That's an expression, not a real person. Ruthie and I have had this expression all the time. When somebody is going through something or they're not getting attention somewhere else, the next thing you know, somebody's going to show up and start giving you the attention that you want. You just need to understand. Be aware. Susie's always show up. Jimmy's always show up. John's, Johnny, whatever name it is. And if your name or your spouse's name Susie, I'm sorry, we're not talking about your spouse. It's just an expression. There's always, always a Susie. We've seen it over and over and over again in relationships. As soon as there's trouble in the camp, there's going to be a listening ear. And it's normally from somebody from the opposite sex. So if you start getting attention from somebody, be aware, Susie's in the room. And Susie wants nothing but to destroy anything good. Amen. In your life. I know one young lady, she took pleasure in messing up marriages because her marriage got messed up. And then she would blame all the guys for it. And it's like, you're the Susie in this. Guys, read Proverbs 5, read Proverbs 7. Don't go down the road of the promiscuous woman. Just be aware. They're always there. So the next one, this scripture here is, if anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it'll be taken as a curse. In other words, this is what I want you to do. Choose your timing well. Whenever you're going to have difficult conversations, choose your timing well. My wife loves to have those deep conversations as I'm walking out the door. She unloads. I love you. Person. Yeah, she's a morning person. I'm not. She is. Choose your timing well. You know what your best time is, but also know the best time for your spouse. One of the things, my wife, this is a time for, I don't mean to shout you out, but this is so true. It isn't bad. The time for you to have a conversation with her is not when she gets home from work. She needs a half hour of decompressing time. She's a teacher of students with autism. She has six students in her classroom,
And the worst part is she has three adults in there along with her. They're probably worse than the kids. She's been a school teacher for 20 some odd years. You know, she's been a special needs teacher. And to time to kind of give her heavy information is not then. Spouses of pastors. This is, I guess I have to say this in the next one because most of the girls aren't here. Don't unload the problems of the church as he's about ready to go preach.
Yeah.
Save that for later. Mm-hmm. And not as soon as you get home either. You've just gone from this to kind of hit down here. That's really, really, really hard. Here's my journey. Every single Sunday, this is my journey. I'm flying high. I come home. And I know later that day I'm going to crash. I do not want any bad news on a Sunday because I already know I'm going to naturally drain because you've given. Mm-hmm. So that point in time, catch me on a Monday. Please don't catch me on a Sunday. I really don't want to hear how badly I preached. My wife never says that, but I have two boys that are extremely honest and opinionated. I love them to death. It's not the time to tell me so-and-so was someone having this conversation over the, that's not the time. I'm not emotionally ready for it. So an awareness is when is that other person, what's their best time for this conversation? So choose your timing well. Next one here in Proverbs 8, verse 18 says, the one who guards a fig tree will eat its fruit, and whoever protects their master will be honored. You can think about what that one means. I'll give you 2 points. Intimacy thrives in security. If your spouse does not feel secure, they're not going to be intimate. And I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about just deepening of your relationship. If you are not trustworthy, you're not worthy of trust. They're not going to open up. But if you create a safe environment, an environment where the person can be open and honest and not, and don't reply, guys. You are not Mr. Fix-It. You're Mr. Listener. If you do that, you'll give them a safe space. And the next thing you know, they'll be more honest with you. And the next thing you know, they will pour out and love you the way you want to be loved. It's hard to fill somebody's tank when your own tank is empty. Compassion brings passion. It's another way of saying it for all you horny guys. It's a men's, sorry, guys. It's a men's, you can edit this out, Linda, all you want. We love you. Every year, I'm sure she has to edit something out of mine, or she just says, let them sink. Proverbs 27:17 is this. This is my life verse. This, I got this verse in college, and I've lived by this. This was my floor verse. I don't know if anybody went to Evangel besides me. I dormed in Scott First North, and what they do at Evangel is they take the initial of the building, your floor number, and north or south, whichever one you are. So mine was S1N. We were the sin floor, but our theme verse was this: as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. In other words, the only way I'm going to be my best is if we have conflict. Conflict is necessary for a thriving marriage. And when I'm talking about conflict, I'm not talking about just, you know, we're going to do MMA in our marriage. Now, I'm not talking about that type of conflict. I'm talking about, as Rick Warren said, if two of you agree upon everything, one of you is not necessary. You need that other person's perspective. You can't see it all. You need them to be different than you. They're going to annoy you.
They're going to irritate you, but you need that in your life. Every oyster that creates a pearl is because what? Because a piece of sand got in, and it started to form around it. You know, so understand conflict is not bad. Don't be afraid of it. But remember, you have to fight fair, finish the fight, and forgive the fight. In other words, no name calling, not necessary. Fight fair. Don't like drop the mic and then walk out of the room. If somebody calls a timeout in the fight, look, whoa, this is getting too heated. I need a break. How many of you like sports? Does any game ever stop on a timeout? Do you have to come back after the timeout to finish the game? So, but when a timeout is called, who has to stop playing at that moment? Both teams have to. In other words, when somebody calls a timeout, you don't go after them still as they're walking off the sidelines. No, you go to your side. In other words, cooler heads prevail. The whole idea behind and this is one of the things we had to learn how to do, is be able to call, I need a timeout. I need 5 minutes, in 5 minutes we'll come back to it. You got to schedule time when you're coming back to the fight. Finish the fight. In other words, don't give the devil an inch. A foothold, make sure you finish the fight, and then forgive. If you want a healthy marriage, learn to say I'm sorry. Amen. And learn to extend forgiveness. Amen. Because I can guarantee you every single one of you guys will blow it tomorrow morning. You need forgiveness. Amen. And if you want forgiveness, you have to forgive. Amen. So that's the male perspective. How much time do I have left?
9 minutes, 8 minutes.
8 minutes. So that means you can ask me any question that my wife is willing for me to answer. Any questions are like, you're like, okay, no whole bars, you can ask me anything. Go ahead.
Is there like any like key advice you can give to, like, I guess, a very young husband? I'm getting married in August, so.
Congratulations.
Oh, okay. I guess I'd be ahead of the game, I guess. I don't know. But is there any sort of advice you can give to somebody who's like brand new married?
I'm sorry. Just learn to say it. No. Honestly. The best time to start working on your marriage is now.
Yes.
Already start putting in work, and you're doing that. You're attending these things, you know, start that. You're not responsible for your wife's happiness.
Amen.
She's responsible for her happiness. Yes, but, you know, okay. She's the spiritual one in the family. Just telling you, my wife is the spiritual one. But honestly, put in the work now, put the legwork in now, and you're doing that. And probably the next important thing is really establish a time in which you two spend together in the Lord. The deeper the intimacy is the closer you two become to Jesus, and the two shall become one flesh. Understand that's a lifetime journey. When you say I do, okay, he's young. Before you get married, Satan will tempt you to have sex constantly. As soon as you say I do, he will do everything he can to prevent you to have sex. So schedule it. Plan it. Honestly, that sounds so bad. But yeah. Guys, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I'm lit. You know, I was up late. I got work in the morning. You know, or something like your breath smells. You know, cultivate the intimacy. Literally, if you need to, circle on the calendar when you did, and then see how many days in between.
You're young, you're viral, praise God. Your job is to multiply the earth. Somebody else had a question here.
Yeah, there's, I kind of had two, but one of them was, I know there's like four or five major things in the marriage that a couple kind of, I'm going to say, juggles with, right?
Uh-huh.
In-laws, money, sex, and there's two other ones that are escaping me right now. I'm not sure if you can think of them. But what was like your...
I don't think.
Was that?
I don't think well.
Okay. Do you know the other two? Or?
I'm not, yeah.
What were your, like, your communication was one of them. What was like your biggest hurdle? Would you would say
my biggest hurdle?
Yeah, where both of you guys like to get over.
I don't know if I can go there.
He's talking about communication.
Yeah. I come from a minister's home, so a lot of the intimacy side was you don't talk about. And she come from, you're adopted, so we dealt with abandonment and we dealt with, you know, so for me, one of the biggest things was to learning was that I can't walk out of a fight. Because that's an abandonment. So if I'm leaving the argument, I have to say I'm going here right now, but I'll be back. That was probably one of the biggest ones to learn for us.
Now, do you guys believe in the five love languages?
Oh,
yes, definitely.
That's
you guys
one
have
of our resources.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you guys have. Do you
yes,
have,
I am words of affirmation.
Okay.
I am high words of affirmation. I'll tell you, I love you, I love you,
for
I love you.
For the sake of the people, can you name the five love
sure,
languages?
Sure, sure. Acts of service, in other words, you do things for people. That's how you understand or you give love. Words of affirmation, you express it verbally. Physical touch, you express it through tactile. Gifts, you like to give things or get things from that. That's your understanding of love. And the last one is quality time. In other words, it's not quantity. It's not like we spent all day together, but we spent 15 minutes of deep conversation together, you know, whatever it is. You are mostly quality time. So I have to give her 15 minutes every day of my undivided attention. If I do that, she's happy. Acts of service is important also to her. Gifts mean nothing to me. Somebody misses my birthday, doesn't give me anything, I'm okay with that. That really doesn't bother me. I may be disappointed because I wanted something, but I mean, but it does not have this deep lasting meaning to me. So that's not important to me, but words are probably my biggest one, and probably my least one honestly is physical touch, which is weird. I know everybody's like, guys are like, yeah, it's me. Yeah. And I say, yeah, okay. If she spoke nasty to you all day and treated you like a dog, would you go to bed with her?
No.
Well, no. Well, then it's not physical touch. So it's how you understand or how you give. And it's learning the other person's love language.
That's the key.
Is
right.
You learn how they love and understand love. And that's what you do to meet their need, and vice versa, they do that for you.
So many times in my marriage, I've been married for 19 years, and I know my wife for 37 years, and I met her through him. I know him since 1987. He is my BFF. I've been repeating myself about that. But anyway, I'm a affectionate guy.
Physical touch, I just saw that. You hit him.
Yeah.
I mean, he went like this. Greet your brother with a holy kiss.
So I have a problem. I gotta pray about this all the time. That my wife, she's not physical touch. Hers is gifts. I think she might have all of them but physical touch. So, but she's gifts, quality time, and acts of service. Really
okay.
Acts of
try
service.
Language.
Really acts of service and.
How much I got? 1 minute.
Sure.
So, my thing is like I I'm so affectionate and I'm so loving and I love the Lord, so he fills me with his love and I'm mm-hmm. filled with the Holy Spirit. So I got to pray about it all the time, like, Lord, I don't want to, because I'm in kids ministry too, so I got to be very careful at how I show my love and affection mm-hmm. to people, and not just my wife as well. So
good holy handshake.
Yes. Holy kiss too.
Holy handshake.
The Bible says holy kiss. Greet each other with a holy kiss on the cheek. Not everybody can. No, not everybody's receptive to that. So you got to use wisdom.
You got to understand, yeah.
Yes.
Always before you touch somebody, always ask for permission.
Amen.
Always ask for permission. Is it okay that I give you a hug? And if they say no, you say, all right.
I need deliverance.
Thank you.
I need deliverance from that.
It's just,
sure.
It's not deliverance. It's home training.
Yes.
There we go.
Thank you, Pastor Tim.
Thank you.
It's what training?
Home training.